Morning. A little earlier this week, I was thinking back about my life over the years. I was going over some of the different events that have occurred and some of the choices that I had made, both the good ones and the bad ones, the big ones and the small ones, and all the things that have brought me to right here where I am in my life today. Now, I don't mean standing up here. I just life in general. And what I found was there was a lot of them. There have been so many different things that have contributed to the direction my life would take. Some of the choices I made worked out well, and some of them didn't work out so good. If I could go back and change some of them, there's some that I wouldn't change a thing. But then there were some things that I just look back at and I shake my head and I wonder how I could have been so dumb to do some of the things that I had done. I'll give you a couple examples. Leaving home as quickly as I did, it was probably a dumb thing. I should have stayed at home, let my parents take care of me a little longer. First few years on my own, I made a lot of bad choices. I made some mistakes. But then they got a little better. I started making some better decisions. I moved to California, where I met Deborah. A couple years after that, we decided to get married, which was just a little over 25 years ago. A couple years later, we decided to have children, and then we moved back to Ohio. And since we've been back to Ohio, I got more of the same. A lot of good choices, a lot of bad choices. But the one thing that they all have in common is they were all life-changing in either the way that I was living my life or the way I thought about life. Now, back in 1995, all of us in here, or pretty much all of us in here, shared a common experience that changed our lives. Might not have changed how we were living our lives, but for me anyway, it changed how I viewed what or who the church is and what it was not. And then, again, last year, a little over a year ago, we went through another gut-wrenching experience together that's probably changed all of us in one way or another. Well, last month, I got to experience a very uplifting and exciting life-changing event. And it's life-changing in the way that it now changed how I, from this point forward, am going to focus on the Passover season. And I'll explain that a little more here in just a minute, but I think most of you in here know that last month our son Joshua was baptized, and as a parent, for you young people, Dalton, Mark, Gage, AJ, Cassie, as a parent, this is very exciting. This is what we live for, to see you guys do, make that kind of decision. Like I told Josh, this is the biggest commitment you'll ever make in your life. Because it's the only commitment you're going to carry with you into the next life. And when you make that choice, and we get to see you do that, it's amazing. And it's, as a parent, like I said, it's like having a huge weight lifted off your shoulders. Well, after Josh had been dipped under the water and stood up, had hands laid on him, and then he stood there shivering uncontrollably because we forgot to take a towel for him to dry off with, Luke 15 was quoted. Let's take a look at that. Luke 15, verse 7. Luke 15, verse 7 says, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." After that had been quoted, he looked at Josh and he said, "Right now there is rejoicing in heaven." And that was pretty exciting to hear. For me and for Josh, he got this big smile on his face. And then he got out and he was walking around the room and everybody was hugging him. And I noticed that there were people in the room hugging each other. And then they were hugging us. And they were excited. And I realized, you know, some of that joy was being felt right there wherever this new convert, this new person coming into the spiritual family of God. And they were happy. There was excitement. And then I kind of think some of the people were just as happy or excited as Deborah and I were that it was going on. And that's when I began to think about what I wanted to talk about here today, and that's focusing on the joy of Passover. Because if there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents and enters into a covenant with God, how much more rejoicing is there when thousands of us get together on the night of Passover and renew our commitment to that same covenant we made with God? Now, this is why I said it's kind of life-changing for me, and it's a little hard for me to admit this, but in the past years, Passover has always been kind of hard on me. I tend to judge myself fairly harshly. When I take time like I did this week to start examining my past and examining myself, it's the mistakes that glare. They're the ones that stand out, and they tend to discourage me, and then I start to think, well, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not doing enough. But you know what? I realize that's exactly what Satan wants. He wants you to be discouraged. He doesn't want us to feel good about this time of year. He wants us to be discouraged. And why is that? It's because he wants us to give up. He hates this time of year. And if he can get us discouraged and he can remove any of the joy and hope that the Passover brings. You see, if we lose our joy in the Passover, if we lose any joy, we can start to lose hope. And if we start to lose hope, we won't endure. And if we don't endure, we just lose out. And I don't want to lose out, and I don't want to be discouraged, so that's why I've decided this year just to focus on rejoicing through this Passover season. The Passover service is a solemn observance, and it should be, but it represents what's going to be one of the most exciting, one of the most joyous times in mankind's history, and that's our salvation and the salvation of the world. And Passover demonstrates God's unlimited love and mercy for us. He knows we're human, he knows we make mistakes, and he knows we have habits that we need to break. Look, if you would, over in Psalms 103, verse 8. Go verse 8 through 14. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are as high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards us or those who fear him. As far as east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God remembers that we are human, and he knows our weaknesses. And the Passover is there every year as a reminder to us that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and that the way has been made for our forgiveness, for the forgiveness of our sins, and that is a very joyful and exciting blessing. One more scripture, 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1:3. And I'm going to read through verse 9. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now that hope is in that Jesus Christ has already rose, and therefore he can raise us up as well. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, Though now for a little while, indeed, if need be, you may be grieved by various trials. And that's true as we examine our lives. We'll see some things. We'll find out we've gone through some trials and had some problems, but it's the salvation of the kingdom of God that we are to rejoice in. Verse 7, the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom you have not seen, you love. So now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith and the salvation of your souls. The holy days are meant to be joyous. They point us to God, to God's plan, and we need to focus on the joy of the Passover. Have a wonderful and joyous Sabbath.